thank you for listening to Grace Community Church's online sermons. Today, Pastor Rick Bennett comes to us from Matthew 7, verse 7, with his sermon entitled Operation Duplication. For more information about our church, please email us at info@gracehouston.org.
Our scripture for today comes to us from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Let's read it together. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the word. A few months ago, I preached a sermon entitled A Renewed Vision. You may remember that I talked about the fact that the first settlers to America risked life and limb. They overcame incredible hardships when they made the journey to America. And yet, in 4 short years, they wanted to impeach the entire town government because the leaders wanted to build a road westward 5 miles. Why? I believe it's because they lost their vision. Listen, never underestimate the power of vision. And likewise, never underestimate the power of complacency and comfort, because those two things are the antithesis of vision. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, without vision, people perish. One translation says, without vision, people cast off restraint. Another says, without vision, the people run wild. Now, last Sunday, I talked about the fact that God has a purpose and plan always in all things. He is never capricious. He never does things by accident, haphazardly. Even before the foundation of the earth was laid, God already had an established purpose. What was it? His plan was to send his son to planet earth. Why? Because he knew that we would follow the rebellion of the adversary. His plan was to send his son to planet earth to be the vicarious sacrificial lamb to pay the price for the sins of fallen humanity. His plan was to then raise Jesus from the tomb, thereby conquering hell, death, and the grave. And then God's plan was to commission us, his church, to be his agents, to extend the boundaries of the kingdom until he returns again to make all things new. God has fulfilled his part of the plan. Can you say amen to that? God did exactly what he promised to do. Can you say amen to that? Now it's up to us to do what we have been called to do, what we have been purposely and strategically placed on planet Earth to do. For, as it says in the book of Esther, for such a time as this. Please understand. Settle the issue once and for all. Never equivocate again. Beloved, you are not here by accident. You are not here by happenstance. You are not here by coincidence. As I said last week, you were not created merely to live and to breathe, go to school, get a job, buy a home and a car, have 2.5 children, retire, and then die. You are here for an eternal purpose. You are not living for today. You are not living for today. Your life is all about eternity. You are living to affect and influence as many people for eternity as possible. Now, beloved, there are 3 things you never have to question. You never have to question God's world. You never have to question God's word. And you never have to question God's work. I said you never have to question God's world, you never have to question God's word, and you never have to question God's work. Now, what do we know about God's world? What do we know about God's world? How many of you would say today that this world is broken today? Now, we know that God gave us a perfect world. It was absolute perfection. It was splendor. Matter of fact, it was paradise. But we said, no, thank you, God. We'll do things our own way. And since that time, the system of this world has been broken down. And we all know, we watch the news, it's getting worse and worse every day. Every day we are debating things and seeing things on TV, and we go, how in the world did we ever get here? Let me tell you why. Jesus said, this world is passing away. This much we know about this perfect world that God gave us. It's broken. Now, what do we know about God's Word? We know that God's Word is the answer and the remedy for a broken world. I said, we know that God's Word is a remedy. It's the answer for the brokenness in our world. And what do we know about God's work? It doesn't get done without us. It doesn't get done without us. What do we know about God's world? It's broken. What do we know about God's Word? It's the answer to the brokenness of this world. And what do we know about God's work? It doesn't get done without us. That's God's plan. All of us have to do our part. Listen, all of us have to do our part. If not, think about this. Someone could spend his or her eternity in a place called hell. That's why Jesus said we have to take up our cross and follow Him. And then He gave us a mission. And that mission is so clear. That mission is simply this. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's more than a call to win people to Christ, as important as that is. It's more than that. Our call, our mandate, our purpose is to make disciples. We are called to duplicate ourselves as believers on a consistent basis. It's a call to replicate the church. One believer at a time. The church has failed to do this in recent years. There's a major decline in church attendance in America. In the last 10 years alone, church attendance in America has declined by 30%. It's a staggering thought. Why is that? I think one of the reasons is because we've tried to accomplish this with a macro approach instead of a micro approach. In other words, we've tried to do it through mega churches, through evangelistic crusades, but moreover through television and radio and the internet, so forth and so on. All of these things have their place, but study after study after study has shown that a macro approach to evangelism and discipleship doesn't work. It doesn't work. It pales in comparison to a micro approach of one person reaching out to another person. Listen, the mandate that we have from Scripture, again, it goes far beyond evangelism. If it were only evangelism, it would be easy. If it were only evangelism, it would be easy, because then we could just leave it up to the, you know, the evangelists like Billy Graham. If it were only evangelism, we could leave it up to the Christian television and Christian radio. And that's what a lot of people have done. And again, that's why the church is declining in size. That's why we're seeing an increase of secular progressives in our society. And that's why we are seeing a younger generation more disconnected to the church than in any other generation in American history. Millennials are more disconnected today than any other generation in our history. Listen, think about this, just from a practical level. A little over 30 years ago, just in this little stretch of Campbell from I-10 to Long Point, maybe a half a mile if it's even that far, a quarter of a mile, there were five growing churches on this little stretch of road. Five growing churches. From what I've been told, and I've called the various churches, the average collective attendance of all five churches 35 years ago was over 7,000 people. Was over 7,000 people. Over the last 30 years, there has been such a dramatic decline on this little stretch right here that three of those churches are no longer here today. Only two are left. And one has declined dramatically. The only church that has grown on this stretch of property in the last decade or two is Grace Community Church. And what's happened on Campbell Road is happening throughout Houston, throughout Texas, throughout America, throughout the world. It's something that we have to address. We can no longer put our head in the sand and act as if all is well. Listen, beloved, all is not well in the church. Now, it may sound old-fashioned in our modern, sophisticated, technological world, but I am absolutely convinced the best way to reach people is still one person reaching out to another person. The best way to disciple a person is person to person to person. And until we come to grips with that reality, the church will continue to decline in size and scope and in influence in our city, in our nation, and in our world. Our responsibility is to duplicate ourselves, to replicate ourselves on an ongoing basis. Our responsibility is one disciple discipling another person so that person disciples another person. That's the biblical motto. That's the mandate. That's why Paul wrote this to his beloved son in the faith, one of the last things he would ever write before the executioners came. This is what he said, Timothy, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Disciple somebody so they become a disciple maker. What is that? Evangelism? Yes, to some degree. But moreover, it's discipleship. Replication, duplication. One disciple making another disciple so that he can make a disciple. Now I want you to imagine with me this morning. Give me your imagination for just a moment. Imagine with me what would happen if all of us in our church, all of us who call Grace Community Church home, if we would disciple one person over the next year, not 10, not 5, not 2, one person that God would bring to us. We would disciple that person, and that person would then become a disciple maker. Can you imagine what would happen in our church? Listen, you don't have to imagine. I've done the math. If we did that, if this body of believers, the folks who call Grace Community Church home, they're not all here today, but many of you are, obviously. If we did that in 5 years, we'd have a parking problem. You know why? Because there'd be 7,000 people attending on a Sunday morning in just 5 years. In just 5 years. You say, but Pastor Rick, that's impossible. Sure it is if we continue to approach things from a macro perspective. Let television do it. Let big churches do it. Let the, you know, this church or that church do it. No, if we make it personal and approach it from a biblical perspective, it can happen. Now let me ask you a question this morning, another question. How threatening does it sound to reach out to one person over a period of 12 months? I don't think that sounds very threatening. How intimidating does it sound to you to invite one person over the next 12 months to be a part of Grace Community Church and then disciple that person, either through personal discipleship or getting them into one of our many discipleship groups that are meeting around the city, or one of our Sunday school classes that are essentially a discipleship group. One person over the next year. How intimidating does that sound to you? To me, not very intimidating. Okay? Then let's do it. Let's do it. Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's not wait for Lakewood to do it or First Baptist to do it or Second Baptist to do it. Let's do it. Let's get on with the program. Let God give us a renewed vision. Let us make this our goal. Now, this morning, we are starting something brand new. You could call it a program. I don't know. Maybe there's a better word. I just call it a fresh vision. And we're going to call it Operation Duplication, a systematic approach to evangelize and disciple our family members, our friends, and everyone that God brings to us over the next 12 months. And trust me, God will bring the people to you. God will bring the people to you in the most unusual and extraordinary ways when He sees that you are committed to discipleship and when He sees that you truly embrace the Great Commission. Now, how can we do this and do so effectively? How can we truly succeed in this endeavor? I think it's much easier than we think. And I believe that the paradigm on how to do this is found in the scripture that we read together earlier. This was the scripture that God woke me up 4 o'clock in the morning some months ago. And immediately the Lord said to me, to my heart, not an audible voice, Operation Duplication. I thought, Lord, what are you saying? He said, get out of bed. I've got to talk to you. And the Lord led me to that scripture, and I read that scripture, and I thought, well, Lord, that scripture relates to prayer. And the Holy Spirit said, it's the perfect paradigm for discipleship. The perfect paradigm for discipleship. And I said, God, speak to me. Tell me what you want me to say. And this is what He told me. Step number one, ask. Ask. Ask, Jesus said, and it will be given to you. You know, the primary reason over 95% of all believers never become disciple makers is because they never ask God to make them a disciple maker. That's the primary reason. James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. You have not because you ask not. We think we don't have because we fail. We think we don't have because we don't have enough faith. We think it's because we're not good enough. We think it's because God really doesn't care. But that isn't the case. To the contrary, Scripture compels us time and time again to come to God in prayer because He cares about us and He delights in answering our prayers when our prayers are compatible with His will. And let me assure you, when you are asking God to help you evangelize and disciple people, you are always praying the will of God. Therefore, your prayer will always be answered. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Could anything be more transparent? Listen, when we are praying in alignment with the Word of God, we can ask and it will be done. That's the promise of the Word of God. When we are praying in alignment with the Word of God, we can ask and it will be done. And nothing aligns more with the Word of God than discipleship. So where does Operation Duplication begin? Thank you for asking. It begins with 4 months of nothing but prayer. That's all I'm asking you to do. Every day to pray. Every day to pray. Prayer alone. A prayer something like this. God, give me a heart that reflects your heart. God, give me a passion for the lost. Lord, give me a burden for those who are hurting. Give me a new vision so I can trust in things I cannot see. Give me the faith to believe, and then give me the courage to fulfill your plan and my purpose in life. Every day for 4 months, that's all I'm asking you to do, is just pray. God, give me a fresh vision. Give me a heart for the lost. There was a great soul winner in the church generations ago, W.H. Mahud. And I love what he said. When we get a glimpse of the worth of a soul and begin to realize that we stand between lost men and heaven or hell, then we shall have a real concern and the Lord will hear our prayers of intercession. And I concur. The first step in Operation Duplication is simply to do this. We're going to pray. We're going to pray, God, give me a heart for the lost. Give me a burden. Renew my vision. Step number two, what is it? Seek. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. I remember years ago, and it was a long time ago, I was a little boy in church, and we would have to come up on the stage and sing this little song and do all these spiritual gyrations with the song. I don't remember all the gyrations, and I'd probably pull my back if I tried to do it today, but I do remember the song, and maybe you used to sing it as well. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed him by, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house for tea. Now, I don't know if the tea part is real or not, but the rest of the song tells the story. Luke 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. The song's exactly right. Jesus looks up, he sees Zacchaeus, he says, listen, come on down, I'm going to your house today. And when Jesus makes that statement, it blows Zacchaeus away and it confounds everyone in the crowd. Why? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. We hate tax collectors today, don't we? They hated him 2,000 years ago as well. He was a sinner, he was unrighteous. Now listen to this, listen. It's in that setting that Jesus makes one of his most prophetic and priestly statements. It's in that setting that he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I want you to notice something with me. The Holy Spirit pointed out to my heart that morning. Jesus did not say, for the Son of Man has come to save and to seek that which is lost. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why is that important? The second step in evangelizing, the second step in becoming a disciple maker begins by seeking the lost. You will never save the lost until you first seek the lost. Seeking must come first. Now, how do we do that? Here's what we do. After you ask God to give you a burden for the lost over the next 4 months, starting in June, in the fifth month, while you continue to pray, because that never ends, now you begin to open your eyes and purposely seek the person that God wants you to disciple, that God wants you to bring to Grace Community Church, that God wants you to impact their life for eternity. See, you spend 4 months asking God to open your heart. Now you begin to ask God to open your eyes. I said you spend 4 months asking God to open your heart. Now you begin to say, God, open my eyes. It's exactly what Jesus said in John 4:35. He said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Open your eyes. There are souls everywhere that are waiting for somebody to tell them about Jesus. It's exactly what that scripture means. Listen, there comes a time when we have to move beyond the realm of prayer, though we never stop praying, to the realm of action. And that begins by seeking the lost and then asking God to make us spiritually sensitive to those who need us and to those to whom the Lord is bringing to us. It's when we raise our spiritual antenna, if you please. But that means that we have to be willing to be friends with sinners. That doesn't mean we condone their sin. It simply means we have to earn the right to share the gospel with them because of the relationship that we've established with them. It means that we have to earn the right to invite them to Grace Community Church. Why? Because they know They can trust us. We have a relationship. Listen, we can love people without loving their values. I said, we can love people without loving their values. Matter of fact, we don't have any choice in the matter. We have to love people. We have to love people. We have no other option. So here's what I'm suggesting. First of all, we dedicate ourselves to spending 4 months simply praying. Simply praying. Seeking God's heart for the lost. God, give me your heart. God, renew my vision, renew my passion, renew my burden for the lost. And then we raise our spiritual antenna. And we ask God to make us spiritually sensitive to the needs of other people and then spiritually alert to the people that God is bringing to us. And trust me, if we are asking and seeking, God will bring the people to us. He will bring the people to you. He will bring the people to you. And then that takes us to the final step. Guess what it is? Knock. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Now, what do you have to do when you knock on a door? Do you have to exert some effort? Obviously. I mean, you could just stand there in front of a door just like this, and you'd be standing there until you're blue in the face, and no one would ever answer the door. Why? Because they don't know you're there. You have to knock on the door. You have to get involved. That's what Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. That says to me that whenever we knock, now we are initiating relationship. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to knock on the door, and if you'll open it up, we're going to have a relationship. When you knock on a door for a reason, don't you? You don't walk around your neighborhood and just knock on doors for no reason. When you knock on a door, more often than not, you're wanting someone to come to the door. You're wanting someone to open the door. You're wanting to have a conversation, and you're probably wanting to go into their house. There's a purpose for knocking. We have to show some initiative. So think about this. Step number one is very simple. We're going to ask God to give us a renewed vision. We're going to ask God to give us a heart for the lost. Every day, without fail, we're going to make that our prayer. I'll be giving you prayer cards every month. I'll be giving you helpful things to help you in that process. But as a church together, collectively, this is going to become our burden for the next 4 months, June, July, August, September. We're going to pray. God, give us a vision. Give us a renewed vision. Give us a heart for the lost. Then, step number two, we're going to begin to seek out the person that God is drawing to us. Now what we're going to do, after we've opened our heart, we're going to open what? Our eyes. We're going to open our eyes and say, God, now help me to see. It may be a family member. It may be a cousin. It may be an uncle. It may be a niece. It may be somebody at work. It may be somebody in your school. But God will help you. Once you begin to say, Lord, I'm raising my spiritual antenna and I'm seeking the person that you want me to impact for eternity, trust me, God will show you, and I think God will probably also bring that person right to you. But you just need to be sensitive to it. And then step number three is you initiate action. What do? You invite them to church. Which church? Grace Community Church. Hello? That's what I'm talking about. Grace Community Church. But it's more than an invite. We're talking about taking things to a whole different level. We're talking about a dedication and a determination to make sure that they keep coming. So they become evangelized. So they become saved. So they become saved. And then we take the initiative to disciple them. Now we can do that individually. We have a great discipleship book that's already been printed, ready for you to use. Or you can get them involved in one of our discipleship groups. There's a reason why they're going on all around the city. Or you can bring them to Sunday school. But then we're going to disciple them. so they too can become a disciple maker. Because that's what I'm going to be talking about. Till God calls me home, that's what I'm going to be talking about. One person discipling another so that person can become a disciple maker. Now, I know it's difficult to envision us fitting 7,000 people in this building. We'll deal with that. You can build buildings. They're easy to do. But the numbers don't lie. If all of us will commit ourselves to reaching one person over the next 12 months, duplicating ourselves, if all of us will commit ourselves to praying for a renewed vision and burden for the lost for the next 4 months, to raising our spiritual antennas for the next 4 months after that, and then to inviting people to church over the next 4 months and getting them involved, it's exactly what will happen. The numbers don't lie. Now you say, well, Pastor Rick, what if we strike out every other time? What if we only succeed half the time? Oh, how tragic would it be to add 3,000 people to our church over the next 5 years? I'll settle for that. How about you? Listen, even if we strike out more times than we hit, if at least we will get out of our comfort zone, if at least we will try, if at least we will step up to the plate and take a swing, if at least we will not give up or give in, we can turn our city, folks, upside down or right side up, however you want to look at it, for Jesus Christ. It's completely possible. What do we need to do? Ask, seek, and knock. It's laid out in Scripture. The Holy Spirit awakened me and said, it's not complicated. Get the church to ask, and I will answer. Get the church to seek, and I will bring people to them. Get the church to knock, and doors will be opened. Let's decide today. Listen, folks, let's decide today that we will no longer be ordinary. We see what's happening in our city. We see what's happening in America. Let's be different. I'm not willing to give in to that. I'm not willing to say, well, it's a settled issue. The church is dying in America, so what can we do? Listen, we don't have to buy into that. We're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything is different once He is put into the equation. Amen? Decide today that you will no longer be a spectator. Decide today that you're going to get into the game and you are going to fulfill your God-given purpose in life. There's a reason you are here. Never forget that. It's not about now. It's not about your best life now. It's about eternity. Let's follow His plan. Don't worry about the plans of the church growth experts. Let's follow the Word of God. And let's duplicate ourselves. Let's build our church. Let's build the kingdom of God. And most of all, let's get people ready for eternity. Because let me assure you, this world is passing away. And we may not even have 5 years before the trumpet sounds. Let's get on with the work of God. And Father, I pray that You would stir our hearts. Stir us from our sleep and our slumber so that we don't buy into the system of this world that says it's too late, there's nothing the church can do, the battle has been fought, we've lost, we just have to hold on till Jesus comes. There is no scriptural basis for holding the fort. Our call is to go into the world. Our call is to make disciples. Our call is to impact our families and our friends and strangers that God brings to us for eternity. And every single one of us can do it because God has given us not only the mandate, but the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. All of us will do it in different ways. But if we will try, not only can it be done, it will be done. I pray, Lord, that this vision that you've stirred in my heart, I pray slowly but surely it would just begin to consume us as a congregation. I pray that we will be able to stand before you one day in glory with a crowd of thousands of people. Because we've accepted the challenge and the mandate of the Word of God. And we've said, Lord, I will fulfill your divine purpose in my life. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I've heard your people calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. We accept the challenge. We accept the mandate. May all things be made new. In our church, we pray. In Jesus' name.